Let us pray. Lord, as we come to you now at this time of hearing your word preached, I pray the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have come to the end of the Lenten sermon series that I've been sharing with you from the book Lutheranism 101 for kids. If you are a guest with us this morning, there are books out on the table there. You're free to take one of those with you. We've been going through this the last 40 plus days and looking at these different elements of Christian worship. This last sermon, which was on Maundy Thursday that I gave, was talking what about the hymns that we sing. The hymns not only minister to our hearts, giving us hope and faith, but they also teach us our theology, meaning how we think and how we talk about God. They help us minister to not only ourselves as we sing the words, but we minister to each other as we hear each other in our singing. And they take our focus off our momentary troubles and put us looking to God and his promises of the past, his provision for the present, and the hope that we have for our future. As I said last sermon, the Bible makes it clear that the Christian church is nothing more than the people of God who have been called by God to leave their daily routines one day at least a week and gather around his word and receive his gifts in the sacraments and calling on him in prayer and praise together. This is the Lutheran understanding of Christian worship. We've looked at many different aspects of worship, actually, the last 2 months with this Lutheranism 101 sermon series. And we did it with the fact that the Bible teaches that God is a God of order. He created everything in an orderly sequence in 6 days to set the world as we know it into motion. He created the sun, the moon, the stars to regulate our time and seasons with precision. And because God is a God of order, he deals with us in orderly ways. Through the Hebrew nation of Israel, God gave his law and he showed his people what was required to approach a holy God. He prepared his people over that time for the arrival of Jesus with 5,000 years of a sacrificial system that was set up and designed to teach his people about holiness and about repentance. God did this for his people to understand their need for the Messiah, Jesus, who would once and for all make them right with God. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament also continues this orderly theme. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he is speaking to the church there in Corinth, where he says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." And he said this in reference to their worship practices, because their worship services had gotten way out of control and even were offensive to some who were attending the churches. Therefore, we learn from this that since God is a God of order, we too are created to think in orderly ways, with common sense, with reason, good judgment, and then we act accordingly based on those things. So this past 40 plus days, we also said that our time together in worship is set apart from everything else that we do and experience in this life. What we experience here in these walls is timeless, and it has significance that we can only find here. In this place, God gives us His greatest gifts of His Word and Sacrament that we share here at this altar. In other words, each piece of the order of service each week we use, it is built up to and around God's Word and His Sacrament. So one final aspect of worship that I want to cover are the colors here in the sanctuary. You'll notice the stole that I wear, the color is what? White. Everybody's with me. It's not the sunrise service, right? You've had your time to get your coffee, your monster drink, whatever you need, right? So everybody should be with me. I'm going to have some participation here now, okay? Kind of like the last sermon as well. So yes, I'm wearing white. We have the white banner, the white on the lectern, the altar, and the pulpit. We have the banner up there. And actually the church is ordained, or what's the word? Adorned in white, isn't it? They changed the paint color just for this day, right? No, I'm kidding. But it is very fitting that today is the color what?
White.
White stands for purity and truth. It's the opposite of black, actually. I'm going to get to black here in a little bit. Just a heads up. So white reinforces Jesus' purity before His Father in heaven. His purity becomes our purity in our baptism. White also, as I said, reinforces the truth about who God is. And if He is true, then we can believe what He says about us and who we are, that we are forgiven and have eternal life. Therefore, this color of white is used on a day like today, on Easter, on Christmas, Epiphany, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, Transfiguration Sunday, and Holy Trinity Sunday. So, what color, for those of you who were here on Friday, what color was here on the altar, etc.? And the altar guild cannot respond to that. Yes, black. As I said, black is everything the opposite of white. Also, black is the absence of light. And it calls for a sober reflection of the cost and the price that Jesus paid and bought us back for our redemption. Therefore, black is used, actually the beginning of Lent, which is what? Ash Wednesday, right? Yep. And then it is also used then on Good Friday. What was before black? Okay, the altar goat can help. Purple, right? Yeah. Purple is the color of royalty, and it is a reminder of the sacrifice that King Jesus made for our eternal salvation. Purple reminds us of our daily need to strive to live a life of humility and repentance. How about before purple, what was the color? Starts with a G. Green. Green is adorned up here for the longest time of the church year. Green, guess what it stands for? It's happening right outside on the grass. Growing. Green stands for growing. Good job. This is displayed during the season after Pentecost, which lasts a very long time. The reason for this, growing symbolizes growing God's kingdom by making disciples through baptism, discipleship opportunities, missions, etc. And that's why it's also the longest season of the church year. What other color did we have before green? As a hint, it's the beginning of the church year also, it's called. Anybody? Starts with a B, ends with a oo, or a loo. Blue, good, yeah. Blue, so blue is the season of Advent. This is the color of what outside? Oh, you're getting it now. I know you're yawning. It's okay. You're going to be free to have some more coffee in a few minutes. But blue is the color of the sky. Yes. Reminding us that Jesus, who came into this world, will also return on the last day from the same blue sky that he ascended into after his resurrection. Therefore, as I said, Advent is not only the beginning of the church year, meaning Jesus coming into this world, but it's also a time of waiting, of watching, a time of anticipation for Jesus on his second coming, the hope of the world that is yet to come. All right, what other color haven't I mentioned yet? Red, good. Yes, red is, it represents strength and power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the strength and power of the Holy Spirit gives to us to even have faith, gives to God's people to call on the name of Jesus and share his name with others. Red is displayed on specifically Pentecost Sunday, as well as Reformation Sunday. Other occasions in the church year, as far as like dedications of a building or a space, the anniversary of a congregation, Confirmation Sunday, when there is an ordination, or the installation of a church worker, you'll see the color red. And so, that wraps up the Lenten sermon series based on this book, Lutheranism 101. I hope and pray it has been as helpful as it was for you, as it has been for me. And let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you continue your work in the midst of this world that you have created out of order, and that you've given us an order that works best for us, Lord. That we are reminded through these colors, even how you teach us these things in our lives. To remember, Lord, that you are the one who created all things. That you have redeemed all things through Jesus and his resurrection. I pray also, Lord, for each of us in our lives, that we would continue to join you in your work as you give us breath to do and strength to do each and every day. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And now, part of our work.